Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Oh, laptop's about to run out of juice here. 17%, you think I can make it to the hour?
Good luck.
May the odds be in my favor. Mm-hmm. Marcus Young, I hope you're doing well today, sir.
Not too bad.
Good. What you got for us? Top 5 at 5.
At number 1, college baseball rankings have been updated. Your Tennessee Volunteers have moved up to number 10. For the SEC, you have LSU at 1, Florida at 3, Vanderbilt at 4, Arkansas at 6, South Carolina at 9, Tennessee at 10, and Kentucky at 18. Texas A&M, after their loss of a sweep to Tennessee, falls out of the top 25.
The names like above us in the top 10, he basically just read our schedule for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We got LSU on the road, Florida at home.
Mm-hmm. Florida at home. Where do we play Vandy this year? We end
Vandy's
the whole
thing
with Vandy.
Got Georgia.
I saw it earlier. Like
South Carolina's at the end of the year.
Yeah, I thought we ended with South Carolina.
Yeah, we do.
Vandy's coming here in a couple of weeks. Oh, man. It's go time. Florida, then we're at Arkansas, then Vandy at home. So those are the next four. Yeah, I mean, it's – man, there's no easy outs. 12 games against LSU, Florida, Arkansas, and Vandy. What should – or I guess, yeah, 12 games. What should our – would you take 6-6 in those, or do you want to come out above 500?
I want to come out above 500.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, yeah, but would you take 6-6 right now?
Yeah, probably.
With that tough of a schedule, yeah, probably.
Depends. You know, definitely need to – I mean, we basically same with sweeper homestands. If we did that, no. What would we have? Florida, Arkansas, Vanderbilt.
I think people need to – I could be wrong. I hope I am. I don't think we're sweeping Florida and Vandy at home.
Mm-mm.
People need to get – ready to lose a game or two there and not freak out.
No, I mean, it's going to be competitive just to win. I think that, and people may not want to hear this, some of these series, we should be happy that we're just winning the series.
Boy, you see, Beam was hot when Tony took him out yesterday. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was only at like 66 pitches. I think he had given up 2 earned runs. It was right after the diving Scott by Chris diving catch, easy to say, by Christian Scott, and they were barreling up on him a little bit, but he had only thrown 66 pitches. He turned and walked out towards the shortstop area, and then like just steamed off the field.
I defer to Vitello. I mean, you could tell like,
well, it obviously worked. Yeah, I mean,
they were.
We used like how many pitchers did we use yesterday? At least 10. I feel like there were multiple times where he brought a pitcher in to face one batter and then brought in another pitcher.
But my guy, he looked good the other day in relief.
Halverson looked good. Sewell looked good. But the guy yesterday, or maybe even Saturday, I think he pitched twice this weekend, was Lindsey.
Yeah.
From UNC Asheville. Looked really good.
At number 2, former Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing.
That guy.
Some more information has been released about his arrest.
Wait a minute. Information.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
TMZ Sports obtained the police footage of the arrest, which shows Downing admitted to having a, quote, victory beer after the Titans' defeat of the Green Bay Packers on November 17th at
home. Victory beer, huh?
Just one?
That's what he says. Well, he said beer. When he was pulled over for going over 100 miles per hour in his car, Downing said he was rushing home because he received a death threat. The quote is, "Hey, man, I was rushing home and I got arrested for a DUI," as he was speaking to an undisclosed member of the Titans organization. "I was panicking because I was scared about my family and I had a victory beer."
Wait a minute.
None of that makes sense.
No. And the thing that jumps out at you is, You've received a death threat.
Yeah, after the best offensive performance of the season.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that. And if it's not true, The last people you want to say that to are, you know, law enforcement.
Well that part he was saying to a member, I guess he was on a phone call with somebody from the Titans organization when he said that quote, because it was a part of the recording from the police footage. So I guess maybe the officer was still within distance, but
yeah. I've never had to blow on the breathalyzer or anything like that. But I find it hard to believe you have a victory beer, presumably on the plane home. On the plane ride home, you have a beer, because isn't that the story, is that they were drinking on the plane?
Yes,
well,
yeah.
Sometimes you do it in the locker room. I don't know. But I'm assuming that you had it. It's a long flight from Green Bay to Nashville. That's got to be what? At least 2 hours. You get home, you drink one beer. One. And, like, that's enough to go over .08?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's lying. He had more than one.
I mean, that's my initial thought, is, like, you had one. And, yeah.
You had one, then you had another one. A lot of that. Because not many people. I've never understood people that just drink one.
A lot of that does not. I just had one last night.
Really?
It was very nice. I sat out on the porch by myself looking at my phone as the sun set. After I cut the grass and had one beer. Yeah,
13 would have been better.
It can be done.
You didn't receive a death threat.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Well, that's the other part of it. Doesn't make sense is that it was after that great game at Green Bay, which he called. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a masterful game plan. Play calling was on point. Why would he have had a death threat?
You called an incredible game. I'm coming to kill you. Dead man Downing.
At number three.
Maybe he was a Packers fan.
Oh. I'm going to beat your plane there.
I'm going to fly. I'm going
to
fly there and kill your family before you get home. I'll kill your family.
At number three, some NFL draft news, as a specific quarterback in the draft class has meetings set up with some teams, including the Tennessee Titans, Panthers, Colts, Raiders, and Falcons. Mr. Do you want to tell you, or do you want to guess?
Hendo Sanko?
No, I wish. Mr. Anthony Richardson is planning to meet with the Tennessee Titans.
Pass.
I want to throw up.
As long as I want him, don't want Levis.
Yeah, he's got a meeting
Does
scheduled.
Doesn't make any sense, man.
For April.
Draft lineman. Let's rebuild it from the inside. Build it from the inside
Richardson
out.
Won't be there by the time the Titans pick.
Pick up Hendo in the third
round. I'd
love
for him to go, like, to Houston. Like, they just act stupid. He goes there.
The dream scenario here is that the Colts and Texans draft Levis and Richardson.
Yeah, that's what
I don't care who goes where, but
the only thing, it's a tiny part of me. Anthony Richardson does have the physical tools to be a dominant quarterback.
Stop it. He does have the makings of a varsity athlete.
At number four, former NFL Derek Wolf says he used to take Adderall and mushrooms before games.
I was banging 7 gram rocks.
The former defensive end apparently had an unusual pregame routine during his 9-year career. Before games, he said, I was taking microdoses, taking mushrooms and Adderall before I'd play. Dude, the bleep focus is out of control, he said. I would just like before games, get myself angry, and so I would just start thinking about my childhood and all the things I'd go through as a kid, and it put me in rage mode.
It's just so bizarre, man. This is just so weird. Yeah. Like the things that guys do. I know it's not uncommon to take Adderall, Ritalin, Greenies, you know, basically derivatives of speed when you're out there in baseball, football, I assume basketball as well, performance-enhancing drugs or – you're never going to be able to get them all the way out of sport, but I don't know, man. The psychedelics, is that really – are you really empowered?
Was it Doc Ellis that threw a no-no? Yeah.
Well, maybe that's game. It. Maybe guys just need to start going full Cheech and Chong going into
Balls.
These games.
Have you seen that video, the interview with them?
No, they made a documentary about it.
Well, they've got, like, the animation, but it's like – yeah. Them at, you know, them talking to him, and he was telling everybody what he was seeing.
He did win a Super Bowl, so who knows? Maybe it works. And finally, at number five, over 100 venomous snakes, an alligator, and a dead body found in a Pennsylvania home.
It's not surprising.
Over 150 snakes.
Eaten by the alligator or bitten by the snakes?
So you had over 150 snakes total. 100 of them were venomous. According to Penn Live, police were called to the scene after receiving a report of an unconscious man. But upon arrival, they found out that the 23-year-old was actually deceased. The death has not been disclosed, but he did have a snake bite on him. So maybe just one of the snakes.
Now,
were
they like in tanks? Or were they? Because I had a friend whose dad was like a big snake guy, and he had like
tanks?
A room. Yeah, they were all. It still freaked me out, but.
So I wouldn't have gone inside that house.
Are the police just like opening the door and there are just snakes all over the place and an alligator roaming around? Wouldn't the alligator eat the snakes? Like how big is the alligator? So many questions.
Yeah, so there's no revealing of the size of the alligator. They did find them in a house. So it was in a home. According to the reports, four adults were living in the house along with a three-year-old girl. The group had recently
over 100 venomous snakes.
Yeah,
and a damn dinosaur.
The group had recently moved to the area with the intention of selling these reptiles at shows and also online. It's been revealed that the owners of the snakes could face fines up to $1,000 per venomous snake.
Yeah. Wildlife crime deserves hard times.
So yeah, this guy who passed away was the owner.
I don't know. Bear, what would you, if you found out your next door neighbor, like how close is the closest house to your house?
Oh,
100 feet or so?
Yeah, I mean, typical neighborhood.
Would you, if you found out that they had 100 venomous snakes in their house and that was always that close to your domicile?
I would have no choice. I would have to have, but I kind of like them.
Rat them out.
No. I mean, I would definitely rat them out. I have no compunction about that. No, I would have at least 4 to 5 ferrets or mongooses as pets.
That would be your response. You would find out your neighbor has 100 venomous snakes. Your response would be to purchase, quote, 4 to 5 ferrets.
And mongoose. If that's how you say
it. I don't think that's how you say the plural mongooses. Of mongoose.
Mongoose. Mongoose.
4 or 5 versus
I'm
over
buying.
100.
I'm
Is it
buying.
4 or 5, Bear? You need to be precise here. Come on.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, my garage, the interior. I'll need one patrolling each door.
Fun fact.
It actually is more reasonable than, you know, bombing the house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fun fact, a group
which
of
I don't think is entirely unreasonable, but please.
Group
burn
of
it
ferrets
with fire.
Are called a business.
I would expect really? Them to. Mm-hmm. They would be in business protecting my house from venomous snakes.
I used to own a couple. That's why I know.
You had a business of ferrets.
I had a partnership.
Yeah, those things are weird. There's like a school of fish. What the crow? What are the bunch of
murder,
crows?
Murder,
a murder of crows.
Yeah. I forgot what's an elephant. Is it troop?
Maybe. I just like my issue is not 4 or 5. It's the fact that he's got a small amount. Versus a large amount of snakes he thinks can protect him. I feel like you'd want to have even amount of ferrets.
No, because I would exercise my Second Amendment right, and I would have a well, and I mean well stocked in ammunition. But I would
shoot the snakes.
I would have 12. Yeah,
anything. You would shoot snakes.
Yes, I would blast them into a billion pieces.
Just imagine.
There's nothing
in your house, like because you're not going to go over to their house to shoot the snakes, but like a snake slithered through the door, you're breaking out the 12 gauge.
Yeah.
In your house, destroying your own property.
Yeah, I can patch a hole in the floor.
Snake guts everywhere.
Sure, I make them come over and clean it up.
Imagine like an action movie bear with a shotgun and just an army of ferrets behind him, fighting off all the snakes. Little war, little Rambo
snakes
version.
Snakes on a plane too, starring Bear.
There's no. I'm most terrified of that. My darkest fear.
Snakes on a plane?
No, just snakes in general. Like if there really is a hell, and God, I hope not. But if I went there, it just put me in a big tub of snakes for eternity. It's like nothing more scary I can think of. I'm sure you could probably dream up something. Because you're sick and twisted.
Yeah, I mean, you got a minute? No, we need to get to these phone calls, don't we? Yeah. Jamie's been hanging forever. What's up, Jamie? You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
I think you clicked for Rusty.
Rusty?
Yep, hold on.
All right, hold on, Rusty. We get Jamie first. That was very nice of Rusty. He basically deferred. He could have just lost right into his phone call.
Jamie,
was
there,
Rusty,
buddy?
On hold? Was he on hold longer than me?
No, not even close. Oh. We made you wait for him.
I was going to say, I was about to say, I'm about the only one to be on hold, stay on hold this long, but it's actually clearer to listen to the phone. Russ, you say, you know, you and Barry, you kind of agree a little bit that losing ZZ was a big reason. I mean, that we didn't go any further in the tournament this year. But can we really, given Barnes's underachievement in the tournament, blame it on a point guard? Wouldn't we have been in the same situation with him as we were without him? You know, high ceiling of Sweet 16.
Without who?
ZZ.
You think the ceiling for this year's team would have been the same with him on the team?
Healthy. Yeah, under Rick Barnes.
No, man. I kind of see what you're saying. It's like, yeah, Rick Barnes is MO, but man, I feel like having him out there, I mean, there were so many careless turnovers in the Florida Atlantic game, and then just our ability to stay in front of them. I mean, they were just going by our guards at will, just doing whatever they wanted. I feel like Ziegler would have made a huge difference. I mean, we'll never know, but I don't think how you could say with certainty that it wouldn't matter.
No, and I can't say with certainty that it would, but I'm just saying, given what we've known of Barnes, he's not getting you out of the Sweet 16, and he has a tendency to lose to worser seeds, you know, lesser seeds than we are. So I'm wondering how much longer he has of just as being this fringe group of dealing with us before it's like, okay, you know, Philip Fulmer rode a 98 national championship straight into being fired after being, you know, after 10 years down the road. And so there's only so much goodwill that, you know, that one can expect around here. Now, at UT, coaches get a lot of it. You know, this fan base was behind Pruitt, Butch, Dooley, Comzo. They're behind, squarely behind Barnes, who's done 1,000 times more than any of those coaches have done here, but only so long will that last. You know, the Facebook groups are already out ripping other Vol fans for daring to want another coach. So I don't know. I just my point today was, and I'll get out of the way, is I just don't know, having a full complement of players is never really. It's never mattered before under Barnes. You know, it's not like we've lost any games we were favored to lose in either. So I don't know. And I heard on a different show today too, guys, the Final Four's got a lot of heavy scoring teams in it. San Diego is a little bit different. They play a lot of defense. Of course, they rebound better than us, which is crazy because we got a lot of guys down low. It just seems like that's the trend of college basketball is just, you know, is all about getting the, you know, outscoring your opponent. So I was just curious, you know, if we happen to get a press conference anytime soon saying he'd like to step down and get back out of Knoxville as quick as possible, what direction we'd go in as far as what kind of coach we'd like to see here. So that's all I really had, guys. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate you hanging. Should we put the poll in the field, Bear?
Do it.
What do you think it's going to be?
I don't think it's going to be as high as it was last year.
It was like over 90%, wasn't it?
I think it's going to be 70.
I think that strongly approved number is going to go down drastically. I don't think there's going to be a lot of that.
No. Approved's still going to.
And the disapprove will come up a little.
Yeah.
So will the strongly disapprove.
Yeah.
All right. pull is in the field.
There's no mistaking where certain friends of ours, where they stand, though, now. Is there?
All right. Stay with us. Rusty, hang right there. We're coming to you next. The Drive Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls after this. More information than I needed.
What?
The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Marcus with you. Chloe putting up with us for some reason.
See, I always forget Chloe's here because I've got the broken thing. I can't see her.
At least once or twice whenever she's here, I say something, then I go, oh, I shouldn't have said that in front of our female guest.
Have we made you uncomfortable at all yet? It's been years since we've had a...
Yeah.
No, sure, you guys are fine.
I know her dad and one of his good friends. So
He's like her own,
kind of known dullards. I'm sure she's been exposed to worse.
I was just gonna say, like, if you choose to go into sports as a female, it's just like
you're gonna see
you're
all sorts of
by, yeah,
awfulness. Men, so. And apparently, it's gotten better. Can you imagine what it was like for like women sports journalists in the 80s and 90s.
Hey, Kenton, why don't you go make me a martini? Daddy wants it stiff. Yeah, say awful stuff.
Oh, I did not like hearing you say that.
That's what she said.
Oh, it made me really uncomfortable.
The hackles on the young ones, on the young one over here.
Rusty is next. What's up, Rusty?
Hey, guys. And Chloe, I just want to say last week when you talked about intrusive thoughts and brought that up and mentioned getting help, getting medication, I've not dealt with it, but I have a close person in my family that has, and it's done wonders for them, and I want to say thank you for you bringing that up. That was a great segment and a great thought.
Thank you.
The poll, I think maybe that poll that you guys put out on Barnes needs a middle ground, that it's not approved or disapproved, but he's probably earned the right to go out on his own terms, maybe, is the answer. Because I don't approve, but I don't disapprove either. He's not going to get fired as long as he's consistently a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament.
No, I mean, Russ, you disapprove. You just realize that what reality is that he's not going anywhere.
So you think there should be in between approve ambivalent? And disapprove. Accept.
Yeah, middle. There should be a middle choice that's
accept.
I'm meh about it because I think he does a lot of great things. So I guess I approve some things, but I disapprove others. So I'm in the middle. I'm not hardcore on approve or disapprove.
Yeah, I feel you on that. We've got 247 votes cast, so pretty good sample size. You want to hear the early results?
I'm looking. Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead.
65%, the biggest. Majority here say they approve. 20% say they strongly approve. So that is trending at an 85% approval rating is the way we tally these. 13% disapprove, 2% strongly disapprove. So this is what I'm talking about. Like we have these shows, and as even after the season, you know, the wound is still fresh, and people are just ripping Coach Barnes. 85%. Of the fans approve of the job. I mean, that's like a huge majority, right? I mean, that's you can't get 85% approval on just about anything.
Right, and he's not going anywhere as long as he's a top 5 seed. And he's been doing that pretty consistently. I did want to bring up the fact, in his defense, that every tournament run we've made, which has been 5 of the 7 years, the first 2 probably don't count because it was the first year of rebuilding, and the second year was the all freshman team of Grant, those guys when they were really getting kind of like learning who they were, and then they came out like gangbusters when they were sophomores. But every team that we took to the tournament with a chance to do something, except the loss to Purdue, the other 4 times, we played in the tournament without a starter. Kyle Alexander the first year, John Fulkerson, Olivia Kamwa last year,
oh, wow.
Double Z this year.
Yeah, I forgot about Kamwa. That's interesting, man. That can't be the norm.
I think that out of all of them, the Alexander one was
arguably the most Chicago impactful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that very well probably cost us.
I don't know, man. Missing Ziegler's pretty big.
It sure did.
Well, Ziegler would have been, we would have had a better shot at hanging in there, you know, on this deal. But Kyle Alexander.
They're very similar.
If Kyle Alexander plays against Loyola Chicago, if we had our rim protector.
I don't know if we had our point guard last week. You know, it's not like we got blowed out by Florida Atlantic. They're very similar. Losing to upstart mid-major teams that made a run to the Final Four, missing, you know, what's more important, your point guard or your rim protector? They're both huge.
Yeah, both of them are very, very harmful to the success. I think that Alexander might have been because it was like the day of the game we found out. He wasn't able to go. And I don't know if you guys remember, but that was like the first time that year that really we decided to give Fulkerson some run because we had to. And he had like five or six really horrible turnovers. It was the worst he played basketball. He was just fresh off of the elbow injury, hadn't really played at all that year leading up to it. And then we had to throw him out there, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, he had no business being in that game, man.
I got way off topic because I was actually calling about baseball. I love me some Berkey. He is the absolute best. Hope you guys are going to continue to have him on. I just had a question. You guys brought up the fact that Dickey has more time to get behind the plate, and I think our lineup is by far the best it can be if he's in the role of catcher. I guess maybe start playing catcher some days and DHing Dickey, but the lineup's best with those two guys in it. If you have to play at least start. Having said that, you brought the point, Russ, that we're in SEC play now, and he's still got time before the NCAA tournament, yes. But why wasn't he getting these reps against Charleston Southern, Alabama A&M, and Dayton?
Talk about Dickey at catcher?
Dickey at catcher. He could have got the pass balls out of his system in games that we're going to win by 20.
Yeah, I learned something I did not know yesterday, and I can't remember if they said this on the TV broadcast or if I saw it somewhere after the game, but apparently he broke his hand. Like, he was going to be the catcher
in the offseason
in fall, and he broke his hand. And so I guess at that decision, they just felt like, well, if you can't practice catching in the offseason, we'll do something else. So that's an interesting factoid that obviously plays into it, but I don't know. What would you do with him? It doesn't seem like there's a great solution to that issue.
I'm catching him 2 out of 3 on the weekends, and Stark catches the other day, but that's me. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be him 2 out of 3, and Taylor's going to catch once, and Stark might DH, which I don't understand how to Stark in the lineup if you're not going to catch him. But, yeah.
Yeah,
anyway, I know 1,000 times less than Frank Anderson, Tony Bartello, and anybody else.
He's got two issues, as I see, is like the catcher thing, where does Dickey figure in? And then he's got to get Dreiling in the lineup, man. That kid's just too good. He's got to play.
Obvious.
He's got to play.
It's so obvious.
Well, it's obvious. He probably, again, God knows what he's doing, but he's got, you know, where do you put him? I mean, there's a log jam, and people are not just seizing the job, but he's kind of seizing a job. If DH, if nothing else, his bat's got to be in the lineup.
6 out of 7 days, it would be in my lineup for sure. And Tears too, but I know Tears pulled a hammy Friday night, but those two guys, it's just glaring. Their bats are at another level from other guys that get at bats. They may be the best two pure hitters on the team, and that includes Dickey and Burke.
Oh, we got all these lefties, all these left-handed hitters.
We are lefty heavy, man. Good gravy, I know. All right, I'll get out of your hair. I know you guys are busy.
Thank you, Rusty. Y'all appreciate you. Brad in La Follette is next. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. How are you, sir?
Good. Russell, don't worry about it, man. There's nothing you could say that could top what Cody McClure said earlier today about making people uncomfortable.
Do I want to know?
He's talking about eating. He ate a rack of ribs, and he got a piece stuck in his tooth, so he chewed a fingernail off and used the fingernail as a toothpick.
Oh, my God.
It's the single most disgusting thing I ever heard. It was great.
Too weird to live, too strange to die.
It's awful. It's also very resourceful. I must say. I hate having something stuck in my teeth and nothing to get it out with. It's one of the most helpless feelings.
Thing ever.
Your fingernails are long enough.
He's borderline feral, isn't he? McClure.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you try and tell me that he's the neat one. You've tried to make the case to me that he's like some kind of neat freak.
He is something. Like with his in his Fair, house,
the man's
in his
tearing
car.
Nails off his hand and picking peas out of his teeth with it. He's a damn caveman. He's a troglodyte.
But if you go, he's like if you go to his house, it's like spotless. If you ride in his car, it's spotless. He's got the air freshener in the vents. He offers you a mint if you want one.
Yeah, don't take the mint that he's offered you. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I have, yeah. And hilarity has ensued usually.
You don't know where that mint's been.
Could be a partially used mint.
Lightly, oh, but lovingly used.
Russ, I know this older gentleman, I'm not going to say who, but he had a habit of taking peanut M&Ms and basically eating the chocolate off the peanut M&Ms, and he would put them in a bowl right by his recliner, the peanut part. And the kids came over to visit for the weekend, and one of the kids went in there and said, "Where did you buy unsalted peanuts at, Mama?" That's not unsalted peanuts, dear. That's used M&Ms.
Why? How do we get here?
Why wouldn't you just eat something chocolate? Like he, or just plain M&Ms?
He would sit there and watch. He'd watch baseball and just eat the chocolate off the peanut M&Ms and just fit them in a bowl.
Peanut M&Ms are delicious, by the way. I don't understand how you could put one of those in your mouth and not just eat it.
Yep. But don't leave them laying around where there's kids.
Ugh.
Oh,
that's so gross, man.
I kind of feel like it's something you should throw away pretty much after you're done eating your M&Ms. I mean, what kind of maniac?
I'm sure he does. He just forgot. Well, what's more gross, M&M guy or Cody using his fingernails as a toothpick?
I can't decide whether to be grossed out by that or just in awe of the ingenuity behind it.
If you have a fingernail on that's long enough that you have to bite off, just use the fingernail still attached.
Like, then you want to stick half your hand inside your mouth?
I skip. Well, no, I mean, I have to scrape with – sometimes you don't have floss or something. You got to get in there with the corner of your fingernail. Well,
most places have toothpicks if you're at a restaurant.
Sometimes you're in your car. You're going somewhere.
You get a mouthful of water and swish it around.
Doesn't always work.
If you're doing that, I think you – kind of the whole sanitary thing by sticking your fingers in your mouth go out the window. I mean, I really don't think that's a,
it's a good point. I mean,
I don't know.
Whether the fingernail is attached or not, it's part of your finger.
Would you rather look over at somebody next to you just having their finger in their mouth or noticing
tearing
a torn piece of a fingernail being used as a toothpick? Which would gross you out more?
Definitely the latter, the fingernail, the torn fingernail. I don't think twice. I'm in the restaurant or whatever, unless I'm with, people I don't know that well. If I'm just with family or like you guys or something. I'm digging that thing out.
It's like
fingernail.
The Seinfeld thing with the itch on the side of the nose. That whole
no,
thing.
That's something completely different. Oh, okay. The nose and the mouth are two different orifices.
Guys, I don't know how a good segue to get back to Rick Barnes after that discussion.
There isn't one.
Russ, you know
if you can land it.
Rick Barnes, the domesticated food stuck in the teeth of Vol Nation.
There you go.
It's definitely it's like a filet or prime rib. I mean, it's good beef, but you got a chunk of it just stuck, hung up there.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
As much as Rick Barnes has chewed on key this year, he's probably got some key stuck in his teeth.
Oh!
But anyhow, Russ, we all know that Barnes has got a bonus and everything for making the Sweet 16, but do you think that they're going to give him a raise or give him an extension, or what do you think?
It's a good question.
Oh, you get a rollover for this year? I don't think you get a raise or an extension. Or,
yeah, I don't see a raise.
I think you get a raise, but maybe just
a rollover year.
I mean, I don't know how many years he has. It's like, how many years do you need?
Is he even, I mean,
he's got to know when
he's got very generous bonus structures.
He's got to understand that he has a great contract that he might not necessarily deserve, but he's got a great deal, and
we're paying a premium for him.
When he walks away, it would be nice of him. When you hang it up, you don't get the rest of your contract,
right?
If you get fired, I guess you get it, which is kind of messed up, but I guess that's why they have contracts. But, you know, I don't know, man. It would be nice to have some assurances that he's not going to bend us over on the way out the door. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think he would. Honestly, unless it got ugly and contentious, you put, like, Phil and some of the other dullards in charge and they tried to run him off or something. Then I could see it. Yes, give me that.
Boy, Phil in charge. There's a thought.
With Jamie advising him?
Well, for the first time, Barnes has kind of lost me. I voted on the poll, and I disapprove. I mean, he just a lot of the coaching errors, the timeout, the underdevelopment of players. I disapprove. So
you know, it's fair enough, Brad. I would probably put myself in the approve camp. I don't see how anybody could be in the strongly disapprove camp, but if you're a NCAA tournament is the prime focus and all that, and I could see how you'd disapprove. I'm not going to rip you for that.
All right, guys. That's all I had. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Brad and LaFollette. Checking in. Got weird there for a second. A little weird.
It's all right. It's been a minute.
Chloe, what's grosser? The I can't remember. What was the first?
The fingernail.
Tearing the fingernail?
Yes.
Is grosser than the M&Ms?
Oh, no. I think the M&Ms, I mean, it's gross that the kids ate it, but just I don't think doing it is that gross.
That in and of itself, it's gross. It's not as gross as the fingernail, but when you add the kids eating it, that's just like a grosser thought. It's not a gross thing to do. It's just that's sad that it happened.
I am slightly in awe over the fingernail thing, though, Chloe. I mean, that's a savage move right there. You're a caveman.
Innovation that excites.
I wasn't gonna go that far, but.
Animals. Listen, I mean, we got the guy. She doesn't even know about hair dryer guy, Koval.
Yeah, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, you got to work up to telling her about Koval.
I mean, if Koval happened to call in and it came up, sure. I mean, she's a grown
what,
up.
What is
are that's, either that's, these... that's not the kind of I never tell the Koval story a whole lot. You still need to put that in somebody's head. He's a nut. And probably going to die in some type of fire.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this. Wrapping up. Monday afternoon edition of the show, Overtime, headed your way next on many of these fine fan-run affiliates. 865-546-8200 if you want to chime in here, last segment of the show. Let's get T-Carp in here next. What's up, T-Carp?
Hey, guys. I hope everybody's doing okay. Y'all doing halfway decent?
Yeah, doing pretty good, man. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I haven't met your new cohort. I'm T-Carp. Get them to tell you about my sister's cat that had AIDS.
Oh,
great story.
T-Carp's AIDS cat. I forgot about that one. Man, we need to do like a retrospective of the weirdest
drive
stories. Yeah. I don't know. What you had to go and put the AIDS cat out of its misery?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Old Yeller style.
No one would do it. I chuckle every time I think about telling you guys that story on the radio. It was great. But anyway, on the Barnes thing, I think it's okay to not have this like binary view, like Barnes is either good or bad. I think it's okay to say Barnes is really good in certain aspects. He did really good up until the SEC champion or the SEC time in the season. And then we found out that SEC was pretty decent conference, okay? Then you get to the tournament. He did really good up until the FAU game, up until the second half, and then he completely fell apart. You can go on a 20-something run, didn't call a timeout, and I think it's okay to say he's both good and bad. He's got good aspects of it, but he's also got really terrible aspects of it. If he were going and doing a job review with me, we would definitely put, you know, needs improvement on game time decisions, on game plan, in-game coaching. But everything else, like, he does pretty good at. He's competent at. So, you know, like, if you're giving him an actual review, like, you have to say he meets expectations, meets or exceeds expectations. And as frustrating as that may be to some folks that I love and respect, that's the truth. Is it not?
No, I think you're spot on, T-Carp. I think that he checks all the boxes except for one, maybe two. And the one I think we all agree on is just in-game coaching, knowing when to call that timeout, man. That's a feel that you have to have, and he has consistently demonstrated through 8 years now that he waits too long, man, and he doesn't kill off. He's not proactive in killing off runs when the other team is – when we're getting blitzed. And that's really frustrating. The only other box that he might not check, and I think this is debatable. I think a lot of fans feel like he doesn't check it, is just like his offensive system or philosophy is not aggressive enough. I don't know how I feel about that one. I feel like he probably has to play the way he does on offense because of the way – he builds his program around defense, but you know, that's debatable. But the man, just like, we're all watching that game Thursday night. You know, I'm saying call the timeout when we've got like a 1-point lead. We still got the lead.
I'm like,
just do it now, do it now. And then they take the lead, and I'm like, please do it now. And he waits for it to get to 7 points. They hit a back-breaking three. Our guys have quit on that play. Yeah. Like, we're just completely discombobulated, not even putting out effort, which I've never seen from our team except for that one play where it's just like our guys.
That's the one where Vescovy came off his guy and they just got him.
Well, it was the three-pointer right before he called timeout, and it's just like, man, what. Why did you wait so long? It just felt like we were buried. It felt like the game was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had missed they were missing them, and it was like, they're going to hit one of these, and when they do, it's just going to be the knife, and that's exactly what it was, and it's over. But at the same time, you can say, oh, man, well, look at these other coaches like Alabama. Well, did they make it to the Elite Eight? You know, it's the tournament is just hard. Period, in a sentence. It's frustrating. I'm just glad to get to the second week of the tournament. It was fun. And we'll go from there. And people may hate that from me, but I have learned my lesson on firing Hall of Fame coaches. Just never going to do it again. Y'all be good.
Thank you. Everybody, FAU, that should be us. Oh, San Diego State can do it. Why can't I? None of the one seats made it. None of the two seeds made it. I don't even know what did a three seed?
Didn't UConn a three?
Make it? Yeah.
No, UConn's a four.
UConn's a four?
Miami's a five. UConn is a four.
FAU's a nine.
And San Diego's a five. So none of the top four seeds made it.
No, but they're all four are very similar. I mean, UConn's the outlier because they've just been absolutely crushing people. But the other three – just had great, just tough runs here in the tournament.
Well, you can look at it all you want and say, well, it opened up for us. That it opened up for us is a missed opportunity. We'll never have an easier path. But you've got 16 teams, of which we are one,
yeah,
that were top four seeds in this tournament that all went home.
Yeah, that's what it's why it's made it easier for me to process it.
Well, that can make it easier, but the Barnes bashers among us,
yeah,
would say that, well, it's not just this year, it's his history of not.
I mean, I understand
succeeding.
A little bit of their
sure.
frustration,
sure.
But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm more referencing like it opened up. Yeah, it opened up into a team that was playing better than us in the tournament. I don't really subscribe to the whole open up thing. Like, honest to God, I think had we played Purdue in the Sweet 16 instead of FAU, I think we would have gone to the Elite Eight. I really do. I think they were a better matchup for us because they were big name. And for whatever reason, we played better against the bigger name teams on our schedule this year.
You keep telling yourself that, Bear. I tell myself that a little bit, too. It's okay.
No, you do.
We don't believe
We've
it.
Talked
we
talked about it.
We tell ourselves that. Marcus, you have a late portal edition for today?
Uh-huh. Caleb Love, guard for North Carolina, has entered the portal.
That's a weird one to me because I remember he was a five-star can't-miss dude out of high school, and he's been good there. Like, he was good last year on their championship team that finished runner-up.
Yep.
But he's not good enough to go to the league, I guess.
16.7 points this season.
Kick the tires on somebody like that?
Sure. Yes. I mean, like, you kick the like, I just wonder what he's looking for, though. Is a guy like that
– is he looking for an NIL deal?
Well, I mean, he could get one at Carolina. Is he looking for like a system where he can just be the guy and more free flowing? Is that kind of guy who's been in a well run program like that for 3 years, was recruited for and played for Roy Williams to start things off? Like, would he be amenable to coming to a Rick Barnes School of Point Guard play? Shall we say?
No, he'd probably be more comfortable with Pearl down on the plains.
He was recruited by Missouri.
Oof. I'm telling you, I know they went out kind of rough, but I mean, are you going to be surprised if that guy, what's that coach's? Who is it?
Dennis Gates?
Yeah, Coach Gates.
You call him Coach Gates.
Yeah.
It's Coach Gates to you.
He's got respect for him.
Coach I call Gates. Him Denny. We're close, though. So.
That still weirds me out when it was Trey mainly. When Trey refers to head coaches by their first name, Josh, Rick. It's just weird to me.
They're good friends.
You wouldn't do it to Tony?
To Vitello? Different baseball coach. I would probably call Vitello by his last name. I wouldn't call him Tony.
You would call him Vitello?
Yeah.
Hey, Vitello, nice to see you. Yeah, that's not weird.
No, if I met him like a social setting, hey, coach, how you doing? If I bumped into him, like, say, at a concert somewhere.
I call him coach, yeah.
And he had a beer, I'd be like, hey, Coach Vitello.
That's what you would be like?
Yeah, probably.
Well.
We were drinking beer?
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
I don't know. A bunch of the guys hate, like a bunch of the young guys here at the station have ran into him out in public. So, you know what he always talks about, don't you?
What?
When they identify themselves being working with us, jam or not a jam, man, he takes it seriously.
Yeah, that's what always cracks me up is how.
Like how serious Coach is about his jam or not a jam.
Like, he stresses about it. He doesn't want to be thought of as a goober.
Think we can get him in before LSU?
I'm trying, yeah. Like, I tried to get him on last week, and I think they thought we wanted to grill him or something. I wanted him on after the
I understood last week. He had work to do last week.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully, you can get them on this week. Stay tuned. We've got overtime headed your way next. Thank you, Chloe. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, other guy.
Rude.
I love you, Marcus.
Love you, too.
Talk to you tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.